Good afternoon. I'm Kate Banahan, and thank you for joining me for the 74th edition of New Mainers Speak. Today, my guest is Shima Kabarigi, who is originally from Kivu province of DR Congo, but lived all over the region while growing up in Burundi, Rwanda, Uganda, before moving to Concord, New Hampshire as a 14-year-old. And then she moved to Maine at age 16 with her parents and three younger sisters to attend Chevres High School. And now is a senior at USM studying business and management. Thank you for coming in today, Shima.
Thank you.
So my first question for you actually might be the hardest. Mm-hmm. Wondering about where you are from. What do you consider to be your home after living in as many countries as you have?
I consider myself to be a global citizen. I don't particularly attach to a specific country, although right now I would say that I'm more American than anything. I am originally from the Congo, and that's honestly originally through my parents. I only lived about 3 years of my life in the Congo. I had the opportunity, I guess some would say, to live in many countries in Central Africa.
That's really bright-siding it, an opportunity. Mm-hmm. Because of war, this lovely opportunity to sample other countries.
I like to look at the optimistic or the positive side of things.
I get that.
And not only that, it gave me exposure to different cultures and be able to assimilate better. And eventually, when I moved to Concord, New Hampshire, it gave me the skill sets to be able to adapt to a new environment. So I look at it in the positive way. But I would say that I'm first from the Congo and second American, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense, mm-hmm. given the fact that you've been all over. So can you tell us about the school you attended in Uganda before coming to the U.S.?
Yeah, the school name was called Aga Khan. It's after a prince in Pakistan. The school was very multicultural. About 50% of students that attended were from East Asia or Asia in general, with Africans, Native Africans attending the school as well. It was a great opportunity to meet people from different cultures, from different backgrounds. I loved it. At 14, you know, this is something good. This is something new. You're able to assimilate and learn new things. So it was an opening experience for me.
And it was a private school?
It was a private school.
And Islamic-based. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then you come to the U.S. and go to a private school, which is Catholic-based.
Yes.
That's so fascinating. So what was your adjustment like to life in the United States once you arrived here?
Originally, it was hard. I would be honest with you guys. It was a very hard experience, but one that I needed. It taught me a lot about life. Things can drastically change. Things can be uncomfortable. And how are you going to deal with situations like that? Now, as I'm older, I appreciate that experience. But as a 14, 15-year-old, not so much. It's frustrating.
Sure.
Yes.
And at 14 and 15, you know, kids at that developmental stage are thinking about themselves mm-hmm. a lot and trying to be cool.
Yes.
Right? And fit in.
Yes.
Which that could be pretty tricky when you're a new kid.
Exactly. New kid from a different country. You tend to stand out. Your accent is different. You look different. I went to a Catholic school that was predominantly white. So, I mean, even if, you know, people did state it, it's obvious. It's apparent. So that alone can create some kind of discomfort or conflict within oneself. So, but eventually I got to understand that experience and appreciate that experience, yes.
So how do you think your global consciousness figures into your present and future plans, all that moving around and acclimating? How's that part of you now?
It's grounded. And not only that, I understand the human experience, and I understand that the human experience is one. The ability to live in different countries, have friends from different places in the world, makes me realize that we're one. We're human beings. We have the same experiences, maybe in a different platform, in a different environment, but we all have the same struggles. And so I tend to sympathize and empathize with individuals that are going through certain things, because I understand that although we sometimes have a tendency of separating ourselves, we all have one experience. So that's the advantage of that.
That's really huge.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot to bring and there's a good chance you'll be using that with immigrants from all over the world.
Exactly.
It becomes who you are and what you do.
Exactly.
I love that. So you're amazingly well acculturated after 12 years. And I wonder what or to whom you attribute your success so far.
I would say initially, my parents. My parents are also global citizens as well. They are always allowing change to happen in their lives and welcoming it. And I think that having the ability to do that has allowed me to be where I am. And they understand that change is important. The second person that I would associate or persons would be my sisters for being able to ground me. And also the numerous teachers and mentors that I've found in Portland, Maine, whether through Chevers, there's a personal mentor that I have. Her name is Sonia. She's helped me understand what I'm going through, be comfortable with myself, understand my experience, and actually advocate for my experience as well. So those would be the three main individuals or group sets that have helped me.
I'm so glad you've received help along the way. Mm-hmm. Because when you're grounded, then you have the ability to give back, and you do a lot of that.
Exactly.
You do a lot of volunteer work, community work, outreach, and just generally good citizenship. So that plays into your future. And I wanted to do our little station break a little early because I want to spend the bulk of this program talking about the project you're working on. You're listening to WMPG, Southern Maine Community Radio, broadcasting from USM. I'm Kate Manahan, and this is New Mainers Speak. And if you're just joining us, welcome. My guest today is Shima Kabarigi, and she is working on a project to create a New Mainers Integration Center, a home base with a clearinghouse of information about existing services for immigrants from all over the world right here in the Portland area, with culturally sensitive and judgment-free help for people just getting started. So you're developing this huge plan, Shima. Can you describe for listeners what you and your team are picturing for the New Mainers Integration Center, what you're working toward?
Okay. My cousin pitched this idea to me about 2 months ago, and I thought it was a bright idea. The exciting part about this idea is the fact that we are able to create a place, a centralized place where individuals can come for any type of questions. It doesn't have to be about service providers or specific needs, whether it's emotional needs, whether it's comfort, whether it's, you know, legal aid or whatever it is. You're able to come to a centralized place and have someone help you out through the process. Basically, what we're trying to create is an environment where New Mainers can come into our center and feel comfortable enough to say, these are my needs, these are my concerns. Are you able to meet those needs? And if we as an organization are not personally able to meet those needs, we give the client or whoever comes, the new immigrant or the new Mainer, referrals to places where they can meet those needs. Now, I want to make clear, and I want people to understand that I do know that these service providers are out there working hard, helping New Mainers. So we're not trying to take away from what they're doing, but what we're trying to create is a culturally sensitive area because we have gone through that process. I personally I'm an immigrant. My cousin is an immigrant. So we understand the process on a personal level. So what we're trying to do is give back to these new communities and telling them, like, we understand what you've been through. You know, you might not necessarily feel comfortable going straight forward to the service provider, maybe because of the language barrier, the cultural barrier, but we can be the starting point for you.
I think that's just such a great idea. I think things have grown up rather ad hoc to support immigrants, and there are many, many organizations that do that. But because we've gotten more and more immigrants, it's kind of like a bowl of popcorn, mm-hmm. and it's hard to find your way around. So you're saying you would be a hub where someone could get started. You could say, oh, for housing, go there. For looking for jobs and resume help, go there.
Exactly.
And right here, we can have a culturally normal face-to-face interaction that feels comfortable, a good way to get started, and perhaps translation services,
too. Exactly. Exactly, yeah. Eventually. And also the small things that we don't focus on, the cultural division that happens. You know, people come from different backgrounds, from different walks of life, and you have people who are literate, others that aren't, and that's a new concept for them. So being able to understand these individuals and helping them out, navigate through the system that requires them to read and understand, you know, it seems small, but for these individuals, it's everything to them. So being able to be aware of these situations and be able to attend to those needs for those individuals.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you were saying the other day that many immigrants arrive with no real former practice of using phones for talking. You know, phone minutes are extremely expensive, so you wouldn't think of using the phone, even though maybe your phone has free minutes. You might not, you know, just be adjusted to that yet. And people come from cultures where you buy something from a person, not online. Exactly. And so sending someone to a list of resources online may not be that useful for a brand new immigrant.
Exactly. And like I said, we are the entry point. So basically what we'll do is hold the client or the new immigrant's hand and say, listen, these are the steps. These are the things that you need to do. We will help you through the process. We understand that you don't understand that. We are basically the middleman because we understand what you're going through. And we're able to make this adjustment for you or be along your side. Because eventually what we're trying to do is have these individuals be independent in a sense where you don't necessarily have to rely on this hub. We are just the kicking start for you in order for you to navigate through the system and eventually becoming self-sufficient. So you don't necessarily need us, or you can refer to us when you have other individuals or family members coming from out of the country. Because you have used our services and you've been there and you understand that the type of aid or assistance that we've been able to give you. So, and pass that along to other individuals that are new to the state of Maine.
I know if I were new to a town like Portland that may be bigger or smaller than wherever I'm from, I would just love to have one place to go.
Exactly.
And they, I would go to the other places they direct me to, but how do you even know how to get started? It seems like a shot in the dark.
Yes, it is.
And how lovely to be sensitive to that vulnerable time in a person's life when their language isn't up to speed yet and their English, their language is probably just fine. and where you could go and get some personalized help. Yes. I love that idea. Really telling them, you're not alone. It's okay.
Exactly.
I've been there.
Yes.
I love that.
That goes a long way.
I understand that offering this culturally sensitive entry point for new Mainers is in part to help them adjust to this new culture emotionally and socially. But I believe it's also your goal to help immigrants to have a faster track to self-reliance by connecting them with the information they need to get on their feet financially. You kind of alluded to that earlier. I wonder if you could say more about that.
Yes. Like I said, with new Mainers coming in, we have people from different walks of life. You have individuals that went to school, have had a master's degree in their countries, in their respective countries. We have others that are not educated. Finding what exactly the new Mainer wants, because you can have an individual that's here like, look, you know, language is a barrier. What I need is to learn English so I can master this skill or go to school and stuff like that. Could you help me with this resource? You know, so it's, we have people from different walks of life, and what we need to do is understand that they don't have a unilateral story, and being able to understand their personal stories and their personal needs and their personal resources that they can bring to the state of Maine is also very important, because I think we tend to forget that, you know, these individuals have a lot of resource and a lot of benefit that they can bring to the state of Maine, because you don't know what their background is, you know, until you actually talk to these individuals and connect them to programs that they're interested in and the benefits or, you know, the assistance that they need in order to get where they want to get. So in that perspective also, that's, for me, it's a personal story. I know there's a lot of young individuals, new Mainers that are here, and I know there are those who actually went to college, finished, or, you know, have some skill sets. They just need to find a place where they can go in order to find a way to actually use those skill sets, you know, despite of language barriers.
Yes, I think your cousin had told me before, this Dama Rugaba, mm-hmm. He's the head of the Rwandese community. Mm-hmm. He had said, now I've lost my train of thought after introducing him. Do you know where I was going with that?
Different skill sets. Individuals that are here.
Yes, he's somebody who has a terrific amount to offer. Mm-hmm. But it took him a long time to lay the groundwork.
Exactly.
And so he was years in the making. And if you can help someone, you can shorten the adjustment period.
Exactly.
And get them into a situation where they're in more appropriate work for themselves. And with that, of course, parenthetically goes paying taxes.
Exactly.
Starting businesses.
Exactly.
Contributing to the economy and the well-being of our whole community.
Exactly.
And we're wasting, we're squandering that in these long starts.
Mm-hmm.
And this immigration center could make a shorter, swifter, cleaner, more loving, easier, more accessible start.
Exactly. Because, you know, like in long term, you know, employers can come there and sponsor, you know, their programs or whatnot and come to us and ask, you know, we're looking for these type of individuals, you know, do you have those, you know, do they meet this criteria? And we're able to give that information. Like you said, Damai took a long time to get where he is. Did he need to go through that? Not necessarily. If he had that actual center and the resources, you know, that we're trying to make available to these individuals, I guarantee that time would have been, you know, cut down by half, you know. So like you said, you know, you can have individuals working, paying taxes, contributing to this Portland community in the state of Maine, you know, because that's a long-term goal eventually, and becoming financially independent because of the resources that we provide, whether it's schooling, whether it's jobs, whatever it is, being able to say, you know what, I can be self-sustainable. So that's our long-term goal.
Yeah, I love that. And also, you mentioned the other day, part of the goal is the stuff that you almost can't ask an agency to do, which is acculturation, to explain that in America, here in Portland, we do a lot with volunteerism. The mm-hmm. schools love to have you in there.
Yes.
It would make a huge difference to the whole system.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing. Or, you know, use these services now and then give back later when you're established and you have a minute.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that's important. I think in different respective communities, they do that, whether it's, you know, helping an uncle out or an aunt or whatnot. But we're trying to create a global or a community culture here in the state of Portland, in the state of Maine and the city of Portland, where individuals can say, you know what, I'm going to give my time to individuals I don't even know. It doesn't have to be my family member because I've been there and I understand, you know, and this specific resource center helped me out, so I feel the need to help another individual out. So the culture of volunteerism is a very personal for me, important message, and important project for me, especially for the youth of for here, the youth of Maine and Portland, and you know, for the new immigrants and new Mainers as well. I want to instill that culture. Not that they don't have that, but they're not necessarily using it on a more broader, you know, scale.
I didn't even realize it when I said it, but that's exactly what happened to you. You came mm-hmm. and benefited, and now you're all about making sure other people have access to information.
Exactly.
I love it. So can you read us your mission
yes.
statement and then tell us where you are now in the process of building that up?
Our mission is to work with the broader Maine community, existing service providers, government, religious institutions, and New Mainers community leaders to support a comprehensive integration activities throughout the greater Portland area. Now, we are in the initial stage, to be honest. Right now, what we're doing is gathering data about the services that are here in Portland, the new Mainers here in Portland from their respective community organizations, and seeing that we're able to use that information to create a center where we can start welcoming foot traffic from individuals. So we aren't welcoming individuals at this point yet because we're doing the initial groundwork for the program. But eventually, our goal is by the end of this year to be able to create a space for individuals to come in and us give them the right support or referral that they need for, you know, for their specific need.
I love that.
Yeah.
Organically, these things happened in communities as immigrants started coming in. There's Cocoa Maine for the Congolese community. And every community kind of has their own community hub.
Mm-hmm.
But the numbers have gotten big. where someone used to be able to look out for the 25 people from their country, these numbers are 600, yes. 700. And so that gets tough for an individual to shoulder while having a job and raising a family.
Mm-hmm.
So you've seen the centralized, this need that exists in every community. And I just wanted to point out that this New Mainers Integration Center idea is for people coming from anywhere.
Anywhere. That's very important. It doesn't matter where you're from, where you're coming from. It's not for a specific region. It's anyone that's new to the state of Maine coming from outside of the country. I also want to say that we're also welcoming individuals that have been here for a while as well. So I don't want to exclude those specific categories where if you have a specific situation that's not ordinary or unorthodox, you can come to us if you need assistance. We're welcoming. So you don't have to be here for a year in order to come to the center for assistance. No, we welcome you even if you've been here for 15 years. You know, if you have questions that concern you and your family, why not come to us? And if we don't have the right answers, we'll definitely guide you or gear you towards a place that you can find the answers or meet your unmet needs.
It's almost like sitting down with a trail map with somebody and helping them plan their course. You're not taking them hiking. You're helping them think through what it is they're looking for, where it is they want to go, and how they can safely get there. And don't forget to take, you know, moleskin in case you get a blister.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Creating a sense of independence as well is what we're trying to do, because it's vital. It's important.
So at this point, you're putting together a board of trustees mm-hmm. and getting this up as a nonprofit, mm-hmm. still in the process.
Yes.
If I were to give you my magic wand and you could wave it and everything goes exactly as everyone's hoping, what would your center look like? Where would it be? How would that work?
We would be in Portland, centrally located. Somewhere on Congress Street would be my ideal place where we can get some foot traffic. It would be a space that's opened in terms of windows and in terms of people being outside welcoming individuals. It would be a place that's heavily not just advertised, but just maybe also accessible to individuals, because we understand that we deal with, you know, with a community or a group of individuals that might not necessarily have cars or be able to access the public transportation system. So a place where they can walk to easily would be the ideal place. So we want to be in central Portland. Yeah.
Yeah. And I saw in your developing plans, at 6 desks, 6 computers.
Yes.
Is 6 because you'll have 6 different language groups represented for the key translators?
And that's exactly what we're trying to do. Those languages are not yet decided on, but we understand that 6 is an easy, manageable number. We don't want to go stray away from that initially. You know, eventually, if we're able to manage that and be able to be sustainable, then, you know, we can increase the numbers. But at this point, yes, because we understand there are individuals from different communities, but there are also universal languages. Like, you have individuals from Central Africa, from Congo, Rwanda, Burundi that speak French, for example. So you don't need another language. So there are common languages that can be used, Arabic, that can be, you know, stuff like that. So
yes, and they'll change over time.
Exactly.
I've talked to teachers in the school system that say they, you know, really dive in and learn all about the cultures of the kids in their classroom. Mm-hmm. But they need to keep doing that because they're no longer Cambodians. Now they're
exactly.
from Angola, and they know nothing about mm-hmm. Angola. And there needs to be that constant freshness,
yes.
right, as we welcome fresh arrivals.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And we also want to be a place for native Mainers to come and ask questions if they're curious. So it's not just for the new Mainers. You know, if you're curious, or you're, like, for example, you're a teacher dealing with students from Angola, you can come to us. And, you know, if you need certain resources or questions that need to be answered, we want to be that place where you feel comfortable enough to come. So it's not just for the new Mainers. It's also for native Mainers as well.
I like that idea. Sure. There are often questions and you don't know where to direct them.
Exactly.
So
we
really
want to
be
that place.
That place.
Mm-hmm.
That clearinghouse. That,
yes.
That hub. So many names for it. So how would people who are excited by this idea contact you about this project?
Okay. So our website is under construction. So the best way to reach us is through my personal email. It's Shima. I'm going to spell it out as shima.kabirigi@gmail.com. or on my phone number. It's 207-749-9044. Those are the two ways you can reach.
Do you have a job title as you're building this up?
Eventually, I think it's going to be program coordinator.
I like that.
Yes. So I think that's the title we're going for.
Great. Yes. You can name yourself. You could be anything.
Exactly.
Queen of the Immigration Center.
I'm not trying to be vain, but yes.
You're doing a lot of work to get this all together, and it stands to benefit a ton of people.
Yes.
I wish you luck with getting this built and
ready
for all the newcomers. I can only imagine how much stress it would alleviate.
Yes.
To know where to start.
Yes.
Shima, your mother is a social worker and your father helps people establish sustainable businesses globally. I imagine that they must be very proud of you.
I hope so.
You seem to have hybrided their what you've learned from each of them to create something meaningful for people in this community. You have a very generous heart, and you're well on your way to making a difference in this world.
Oh, thank you, Kate.
So thank you so much for coming in on New Mainers Speak today.
I thank you.
I'm Kate Manahan in the studio with my guest, Shima Kabarugi. We will close today's program with a song Shima's picked out for us. What have you got queued up for our listeners, Shima?
It's a Congolese artist. His name is Lokwa Kwanza. It's called Plus Vivant, which is like, I'm more alive. I think that song is really significant, especially for people coming here that might feel invisible. So knowing that you are alive, you're present. And I figured this song would be appropriate for this program.
Love it. Thank you.
Yeah.
J'ai connu des choses, de moments imprévus, de rythmes qu'on n'ose, comme on a tant vécu. J'ai connu des doutes, tant qu'on se sent perdu, mais aussi l'amour, comme on n'a jamais vu. Tant que l'eau coule dans nos veines, c'est ma flamme et je prie pour que jamais elle ne s'éteigne. Oh, 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 plus vivant que l'amour qui se donne, que l'on sent dans tout ce qui résonne. Plus vivant que l'oiseau qui s'envole et qui laisse en passant la trace du le charme, la douceur de la nuit, le bruit et les larmes, la chaleur de la pluie. Si là-bas le temps a vaincu nos envies, alors je me sens encore plus près d'ici. Plus vivant que l'amour qui se donne, que l'on sent dans tout ce qui résonne. Son vol et qui laisse en passant la trace du vent.
Elle aime beau,
elle aime beau, y a mon pépé.
Baby.